Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Friday the 13th here on Sports Time Radio. Sadly, I am a bit under the weather, but we will try to get through this. I, of course, am the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, you know the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but there is content added throughout the week, so continue to get yourself over there and check that out, see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, don't forget to go ahead and click that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, Dan and I would greatly appreciate it. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, you got it, at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
Oh, so all right, Dan, since it's actually going to be starting here very soon, we have a pretty big hockey game going on tonight as far as the Blackhawks are concerned. They have a fantastic matchup against the Washington Capitals that's going to get rolling here in about 30 minutes or so. I believe if I saw correctly, the Capitals have retaken first place in their division. Oh, no, not quite yet. They are 1 point behind the Columbus Blue Jackets. Of course, the Blue Jackets needed that huge 16-game winning streak to get there. But the Capitals are coming in on a 7-game winning streak. They are 8-1-1 in their last 10. Each team has 59 points, but the Blackhawks have played 3 more games. The Hawks themselves are on a 4-game winning streak. They're 5-4-1 in their last 10. So somebody's winning streak's going to end tonight. I don't know. What kind of game you expecting here? You see this being a tough game, a good game, or are we going to end up looking at this later going, man, how did we get a blowout?
You never know. I think over the years, what I've learned about the Hawks, and like you've always said, they're more of the skating team, the finesse, and they're fast and quick. Where, one of the attributes that the Capitals have that really kind of drew me to them is the fact that they'll beat you up. And not only have they done that to the Hawks in the past, but they continue to pick up guys who are, for lack of a better word, just tough guys. I mean, you already had a strong team before, but then, picking up the likes of Justin Williams, TJ Oshie, I think that just cemented them in being a little bit more of a badass team.
Yeah, it helps obviously on this 7-game winning streak. Their goaltender Braden Holtby has been super hot. 3 goals in his last 4 games. So, he's definitely, rolling along. When the Hawks seem to win, they seem to win by 1 goal. I don't know how that continues to happen. Even against bad teams, they just struggled, had to go into overtime to beat the Red Wings, who are having kind of a really down year for the Red Wings. But, they're still the Blackhawks, and they're still a quality team regardless what a lot of people think of them. I know I traded an email today with Schomburg Stu just extolling the virtues of the Minnesota Wild, who I do like very much as well. I've always enjoyed the way the Wild play the game, but, they were coming off a big winning streak, and he was all excited because they blew out the Canadiens 7-1, and it's like, easy. We're only about halfway through the season here. Let's not go handing out the spot in the Stanley Cup Finals to any Western Conference team yet. But, He's been a bit up and down on the Blackhawks all year. You know, anytime I mention the fact that they have 59 points, he also mentions the fact that they've played more games than anybody else. But to be fair, you know, they've played as many as, you know, Anaheim and Philadelphia. Boston has actually played one more and only has 49 points. So, you know, it all evens out in the end. They're all going to play 82 games, and, you know, we'll see how it seeds out. But, I think if you're underestimating this Blackhawks team, I believe you're severely mistaken. And, you know, the sad part is, well, I guess maybe it's, well, the sad for me is the fact that they're doing this well, and Patrick Kane really hasn't had what you would call a banner year coming off of last year. You know, he's, you know, obviously he was the best player in the NHL last year. And, you know, this year, you know, while he is racking up the assist totals, he has handed out 33 assists. It's hard to believe he only has 12 goals. So, you know, it's just, you know, it's weird. I believe that ranks fourth on the team. Let me double check that here. He's fourth on the team. And oddly, you can see where the assists are going. His line mates, who are Artem Anisimov and then Artemi Panarin, are the top two Blackhawk goal scorers with 18 and 17. You know, and then Kane leads in assists with 33. So while he does lead the team in points at 45, he's handing out more than he's scoring this year. You know, and then luckily for me, he has a plus +7, so I've got that going for me.
Well, that always works.
So yeah, it's it hasn't been quite. You know, I paid a lot of money for him in the auction league, and the odd part was I was really just trying to run somebody up. But you know, Kane's the kind of player. You know, hey, if you get him dumped on you, you get him dumped on you. You're okay with that. But he really hasn't been worth the money quite yet. And hopefully he'll get on a goal streak here. Washington has to be expected. Ovechkin leads them in goals, because what Alexander Ovechkin does is score goals probably better than anybody in NHL history, with the exception of maybe Wayne Gretzky. You know, he's got 21 goals to go with 35 points. Yeah, 21 goals, 35 points. Those lead, both lead the team. So, you know, no surprises, no surprise there at all that, Ovechkin is the leading goal scorer for the Capitals. We know he just went over his 1,000th point in his career, and he got it on a goal. I think it was his 545th career goal or something like that. So, he is, obviously we're talking about two guys who are going to end up in the Hall of Fame.
Kind of going back to Schoenberg's too, being excited about Minnesota. I mean, that's all fair and well, but I think the downside with Minnesota is they've never really proven themselves in the playoffs. I mean, let's just say, for instance, within their division, the Central, let's just say the Hawks move down to third and, St. Louis takes second and Minnesota takes the division to end the season. To me, that doesn't, that's great, but I don't see them progressively moving far into the playoffs. They really haven't over the last, three seasons.
Yeah, well, it'll be an interesting weekend for them. They just came out, what you just got to consider a gigantic blowout win over the Canadiens. I mean, the Canadiens are a first place team, and, you're looking at Minnesota laid 7 goals on them. They are off tonight. They're going to get the Dallas Stars, who are having a bit of a down year tomorrow for Dallas. But that's the first of the back-to-back, is then they've got to come to Chicago Sunday night to play the Blackhawks. So, we're going to get a little bit of, a measuring stick there as to what the Wild have. And it'll be interesting to see what they do with their goaltending. You know, being that it's a back-to-back, a lot of guys don't play both ends unless, of course, it's a playoff situation. So, as good as Devan Dubnyk has been, my guess is they save him for Sunday night. He gets a day off Saturday, and they save him for Sunday night. You never know. We'll have to see, how tomorrow goes. Maybe if Dallas pulls off a win, they have to go to Dubnyk. They use Dubnyk there, and they lose. Maybe they bring him back on short rest, or on no rest, I guess you would call it. So, it's definitely going to be a really interesting weekend for the Wild.
Yeah, and one thing I wanted to throw out there, and I'm sure many people know this, I wasn't aware of this, but, a couple of seasons ago, the NHL hooked up with Major League Baseball to really revamp their app and their live streaming, because Major League Baseball is number one in that field. I noticed this morning when I was checking out the highlights that the NHL app, whether you have it on your tablet, your phone, just create a free account. You don't have to, buy the subscription, but they do a free game of the day too. I thought that was pretty cool. I never really paid attention to that.
Yeah. Going back to the Wild a little bit here, you got to remember, this is a team that wins games with defense. All right, their highest goal scorer is Eric Staal with 14. He actually leads the team in points across the board. 14 goals, 24 assists, and then, of course, 38 points. So they're not a powerful offensive team. That's why the 7-goal output against Montreal really surprised me. Because Montreal, obviously, they're a top team as well. They're on top of the... what's that division called? Is that the Atlantic? I'm trying to remember what Eastern. Yeah, is that the Eastern Division? Yeah. They're on top there by a pretty wide margin here. They've got a 9-point lead over the Bruins. For them to give up a seventh spot like that is kind of a big deal. But Dallas, they're going up against Dallas. Dallas has been a .500 team. So, we'll see how that works out. And then have to turn around and come right to Chicago, that'll be a big deal. The Blackhawks will get the day off. Obviously they have a really tough game tonight. And then, they get to come back home, get the day off, and then get ready for the Wild. So...
Will they practice tomorrow?
I believe they do a morning skate or something like that. I don't know if you would call it practice like Cavaliers, who, again, were off and didn't practice, so I don't want to hear any more about their crying. But one of those fun things. And, hockey players are, tougher anyways. You would never hear, you'd never hear a hockey player cry about – Well, you'd never hear a hockey player cry like LeBron James does anyways. While we're leading into crying and we're talking about, you mentioned the NBA and we mentioned the Capitol or the Cavaliers. The new crybabies in the NBA, you ready for this one, Dan? The referees. Apparently the referees union, I don't know who the president is or anything like that, sent a letter to the NBA because the refs don't like the fact that Mark Cuban yells at them.
I have not seen a single Mavericks game, to be honest with you. I don't even know, except barring any playoff performances that they're in. So does he attend every game and sit courtside?
Yes, he actually sits a row behind the Mavericks bench, and he does do a lot of yelling at the referees. But you know, when what somebody pointed out very clearly today, while he does yell at the refs, he does not use profanity. So I don't understand what the difference between Mark Cuban yelling at you and a fan yelling at you is. But, you know, there's some refs complaining that, you know, they felt intimidated and a lot of, just a lot of crying. Yeah, just a lot of crying about, you know, just, you know, what the things he does, and, you know, it's very odd that, you know, they would, you know, react, you know, basically, like I said, they're reacting this way to being yelled at.
So, well, you know, they believe that he's trying to gain advantage via quote, via threat and intimidation. I mean, I would think the biggest issue and why they're crying, and I'm not going to read any articles on it because, I mean, I'm not even going to waste my time listening to why they're crying when they've got an earpiece to help fix games. Ooh, did I say that out loud? Is the fact that, you know, there's nothing they could do about it. I mean, yeah, the NBA can fine him after the fact, but, you know, if Nowitzki was to yell and this and that, you know, they can obviously call it technical, but with Mark Cuban, they can't do that. And I think that's one of the problems, you know, their power control.
Yeah, you know, to be fair, if he was being profane or anything like that, they would be able to tee him up and have him removed. Basically, all he's doing is complaining like a regular fan would complain. You know, I mean, he's not doing anything that, you know, you probably didn't do sitting in the upper deck at Miami.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is because he's the only one. You know, Jordan's not doing it.
So here, just Jordan's so I get it right, the guy who wrote the letter is the National Basketball Ref Association General Counsel Lee Seaham. So, and they worded it as a threat to the integrity of the NBA. So,
again, like I said, they fixed games, and they're worried about him ruining the integrity.
So, yeah, you know, and obviously you can tell a Royer wrote this because there's stuff like, you know, there's the premise that Cuban holds an inappropriate influence over referees. So, you know, they really, you know, I think the betting line has more influence over the refs than Mark Cuban does. But, you know, that's another story. You know, it's just kind of, you know, it's interesting to kind of see it, but yeah, I guess the general basis was the fact that they were upset for being yelled at.
But I don't know. I mean, part of me that comes out, and I think it just comes from our background, is, you know, let's not forget that especially coming from the referees, you're not the star of the show. No one cares about you except for, you know, Mark Cuban yelling at you. It's called learn to block it out. I mean, I'm surprised with the earpiece in the one ear and the constant, you know, talking doesn't, you know, help you block it out. I mean, as a pro wrestler, whether you're on the, you know, the big screen and, you know, performing in front of audiences of 20,000, where you really don't hear anybody, maybe you hear the first couple rows compared to, you know, an intimate setting of, you know, just a couple thousand or 500 people, you know, where you've got people yelling at you, throwing stuff at you, without the repercussions that would happen if you're, you know, at a WWE event. I mean, you've got to learn to block all that and ignore it. You know, kind of goes back to the old adage of stick the stones, I break my bones. You know, like, I don't know. Put on, take off your panties and put on your man pants and grow a set for a second. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just, it's the oddest thing when you, you know, you kind of break it down because, you know, these are people who get yelled at for a living by every fan you make a call against. I mean, even if you get a call right, which to be fair, they do the majority of the time, you know, you're going to get dogged by the fans of the team you made the call against. You know, I saw a play last night in the Bulls-Knicks game. One of the newer refs, I believe he's only been an NBA official for two or three seasons, called Wade for traveling. Now, of course, as you and I both know, they no longer call traveling in the NBA. He did travel. The referee called it correctly. Wade dogged this guy up and down the floor during every timeout, every free throw, just kept chatting with him and chatting with him and talking his ear off because he didn't like the call. So, you know, now this guy didn't go and say, well, you know, he's a threat because, you know, he talked to me. You know, there was no letter written about Dwayne Wade. And Wade spent a whole lot more time talking to this ref than Cuban does yelling at the games, yelling at him during games.
Well, I mean, not only that, I mean, think about some of the fans during the playoffs last season. I believe it was Charlotte had that one overly obnoxious guy on the floor. I mean, but at the same time, he paid the thousands of dollars to sit there, and as long as he doesn't cross that line, the literal line, to the NBA court and touch any of the players, I mean, let him be. But you can't tell me that
right.
That guy wasn't yelling at the referees the entire time, too. Is he, you know, a threat that's going to threaten the integrity of the game? You know, Jordan didn't get up and tell the guy to calm down.
No. You know, and, you know, remember Jordan had the guy Jordan had the guy who used to sit behind the bench and read the Jordan rules out loud to him. You know, to heckle him. You know, and I mean, obviously, you know, it happens to everybody. It's just how you deal with it. And, I mean, I would think, you know, a referee would be one of the easiest guys to just block it out. I mean, there's so much else going on for an official. It, you know, this shouldn't even affect him. But, yeah, they're, you know, quite up in arms over it. And I'm just kind of like, really, this is where we gotta go now with this. You're gonna go nuts here on this kind of stuff. So that's what you get. So I don't want him to change. I hope he doesn't change. You know, I want him to stay the same as an owner. You know, like I was really rooting for him to get the Cubs back in the day, you know, before the Ricketts landed it. You know, he was a guy I was really kind of hoping would pick that up. I thought he would have, you know, changed the game there as well. But yeah, God, I would, you know, I just hope he keeps being Mark Cuban and, you know, keeps being a gigantic pain in the rear to, you know, whoever's officiating the game.
Yeah, well, and he's lucky he didn't throw out there that if Trump becomes president, he'll move. Because, you know, everyone would be on his butt for that.
Yeah. it was just, you know, it was the oddest thing. Because, you know, it originally brought me, you know, right to listening to, you know, whatever LeBron is crying about for the day. You know, I'm just kind of like, oh no, what happened to, you know, poor LeBron and, you know, the Cavaliers who just can't squeeze in practice time in this hectic, you know, an NBA schedule. So.
And I'll be honest, you know, I was, if you follow us at Sports Time Radio, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, I had a good time this morning just reliving and rewatching Iverson. You know, we're talking about practice. Classic. Classic. And again, you know, it's one of those things where when you watch it, it doesn't matter what era you're in, you know, whether that was, I forget what, 10, 15 years ago or today, you still have reporters asking dumbass questions. I mean, you know, I thought it was funny that after, you know, because obviously the famous quote is, you know, we're talking about practice and this and that. And then one of the reporters, I heard her say something about, you know, but don't you think practice helps make your teammates better? And he just flat out thought, how the hell am I going to make my teammates better? Or how the hell is me being at practice going to make my teammates better? Because I miss one practice. One practice. But it's just, it's comical.
Yeah, and then, you know, while we were talking about the Cavaliers there, their general manager in name, in case you don't know, is a fellow by the name of David Griffin. He mentioned that even though they picked up Kyle Korver last week, they are apparently in the market for a playmaker. So, you know, I don't know. They don't have any, like, names or anything associated with what they might be going for. But, yeah, it would be interesting to see if, you know, they could work out another deal somewhere, or if they've got, you know, enough cap space, you know, with everything they got going on to make another deal. I don't know who, you know, who would be available or anything like that. But yeah, look for the Cavs to maybe try to make another trade. Hey, you think they'd want Rajon Rondo?
They already have J.R. Smith. I don't know. Maybe they got one troublemaker. Now, is Courtney the guy from Atlanta they wanted? Or? I'm not up.
Yeah, the former Bull, Kyle Korver. Yeah, oddly, it was two. Yeah, ended up being two former Bulls traded for each other. Korver went from Atlanta to Cleveland, and Mike Dunleavy was part of the package Cleveland sent to Atlanta.
Oh, I forgot he was on the team.
Yeah. Well, he was hurt for quite a while. And he almost didn't report. It was a kind of an odd situation with it. Dunleavy was considering not reporting, and I believe the Cavaliers actually had to hold Korver out until Dunleavy actually showed up. So it was a little weird.
Well, I mean, with the little skid they were having, I mean, wasn't Cleveland saying that the Cavs would turn it around once Dunleavy came back? But you remember last season, he was supposed to be the Bulls saving grace. I don't know why. Still trying to figure that one out. Well, when Dunleavy
came back,
going to turn it around.
I don't understand any of the thinking there behind a lot of, you know, what teams think. But, you know, to be fair, Mike Dunleavy has had a very long NBA career. I think he's at 12 or 14 seasons or something. So, he's made a nice little career for himself. Sorry, I was distracted. The ambulance was pulling into my complex, and I wanted to make sure they weren't here for me. So, you know. But here's another NBA thing I found very interesting coming from Dwayne Wade himself. He described the NBA All-Star game as a dunk show. And he doesn't know what the league can do to make the games more competitive. Now, you know, we saw this in the NHL where they changed the format, and I thought it worked out really well last year. You got any ideas for the NBA there, Dan? So the game's not a dunk show, as Wade calls it?
At a four-point line for the All-Star game?
Well, you know, when you kind of read through this, you know, like one of the things he says is he isn't exactly sure when the competitiveness of the All-Star game changed, but then a little later he mentions in his first couple years he remembers AI and those guys, meaning the other All-Stars, had some barn burners. And I'm wondering what you think, Dan, if maybe it's the possibility that, you know, all those guys weren't buddies back then and they kind of wanted to win.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's, I mean, it all goes back to what we're talking about practice. You know, Iverson always turned it up for a game. You know, I mean, he had no qualms about stepping over Cavaliers coach in the final, or was it the finals? He was on a, he stepped over him. He had no problem going out there and crossing over Jordan. But, you know, I think that's part of it is, you know, not everyone was buddies. But I think the hard thing today, though, too, is, you know, half these guys, you know, they're not kids. I was going to say kids, but they started as kids, and they're in the same things, you know, almost like the Chris Bryant, Mike Trout, and Vegas boy, Bryce Harper. I think they all played together. Maybe not Trout, but I don't remember the mixture. But, you know, and granted, the competition level isn't exactly the same in baseball it is in at the NBA, but I think that plays a huge part into it. I mean, even I think the influence of the NBA of the, you know, the quote Jordan era, even rubbed off on, you know, my friends and I as kids. You know, you had that The White Man Can't Jump movie that came out, and you know, that really spelled how you played basketball on the street, and you know how that kind of correlates into the NBA. I mean, you know, I wasn't the best basketball player, but you know, playing 21 or one-on-one with my friends who actually made the high school basketball team, you know, the more I talked about their girlfriend and things like that, the more the better I got.
Yeah, well, you know, it's weird because, you know, guys like, you know, Jordan and Iverson, and I mean, you go back to the Patrick Ewings and, you know, those guys like that, I mean, I don't think they cared when the game was, you know, it could have been in your own backyard, and I mean, they wanted to kill you. You know, I mean, you know, I mean, Michael Jordan got in a fight with Steve Kerr at practice over a game. You know, again, we're talking about practice. So, you know, it was just one of those, you know, one of those odd things that, you know, now, I mean, you know, obviously the Cavaliers don't practice, but, you know, you never hear about that or, you know, anything competitive like that at a practice. And, you know, now, you know, they're all, you know, going on vacation together. And I mean, you know, even on their off days, you know, these guys are hanging out. So, you know, it's just a, you know, a different league. And I mean, I just, you know, they don't care about the All-Star game. You know, I'm not sure if there's a, you know, if there's a way to fix it. Maybe they give a home court advantage to the conference that wins it. Oh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not only that, I mean, the highlight, the highlight of the All-Star game is the 8-hour introduction that's performed by, you know, whatever hot hip-hop artist at the time, you know, and then watching Kobe walk out. He should still be starting, right?
I believe he is. I haven't looked at the voting yet, but I'm pretty sure he's leading. So...
I'm going to go in and vote for him.
Yeah, you know,
I'm just voting for Kobe.
Yeah, you know, I wonder if maybe, you know, if they tried something like, you know, the NFL did, you know, you pick the players, you know, let the voting count and get the guys who are going to play in the game, and then, like, the two top vote-getters are the captains, and then they pick the teams, you know, and you make it, kind of like that, where it's a little more street ball, you know, maybe that gets the fans a little interested, because you could get an opportunity to see, you know, Steph and LeBron on the same team, or, you know, maybe Russell Westbrook ends up playing with Kevin Durant again, you know, something kind of like that, you know, that could be kind of interesting, maybe.
Oh, I think what would be more interesting is if you made Durant and Westbrook the captains.
Yeah. You know, well, you know, and then I was wondering, I don't know if the NHL idea would work for them, you know, but, you know, could they go to you know, maybe each division has, say, a 6 or 7 player team, and, you know, they do a mini tournament, you know, two teams play, and then we go to a game final. You know, maybe something like that might interest people, you know, depending on, you know, how you look at, obviously, the divisions. You know, because the, you know, the Pacific with just, you know, the Warriors and the Clippers is a pretty loaded division, but I still think it could be pretty competitive.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think All-Star games as a whole, I mean, they should just call it what it is and give the players a freaking break in the middle of the season and not do any of this crap. I don't know. To me, I think it should be just more of some kind of cool skills thing. You know, the dunk contest is okay, you know, the shooting and things like that, but I don't know, as a whole, I don't even know why they do it anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, the dunk
Across all
contest
ages.
is making, you know, it's making a bit of a comeback now. You know, they're getting a little better quality guys in it, I think. You know, guys who are a little better dunkers. So, you know, I think that's kind of added to it. I've always enjoyed the shooting and the skill stuff. So, you know, I've never really had a big problem with that. I did dislike the way they changed the skills challenge next year, and I'm hoping they fix it, you know, for this coming season. So.
Well, I guess what I mean is the whole, you know, idea of an all-star game, it's kind of worthless because a lot of these guys, you know, it's about the money. And, you know, they don't want to go all on out because who wants to be the guy who gets injured at the all-star game? You know, granted, you're still
Yeah,
going to
you
get
know,
your
and that's
money,
obviously,
but.
you know, yeah, you know, that's obviously another part of it is, you know, the fact that, you know, and I mean, even if you're an NBA team, the last thing you want to see is your star player out there get hurt, you know, in an exhibition.
You know, can you imagine the uproar if LeBron, you know, tweaked a knee or, well, I
I
guess
gotta tell
that
you,
would be the thing.
it wouldn't bother me that much. So, try again.
Well, no, I was gonna say, I mean, you know, that's the only way I think things would change is if LeBron got hurt because then, you know, leader of the union, steward or union and all that good stuff, it might cause for a different change. I mean, for me as a whole, you know, I think just get rid of it and make the focus the skill stuff. You know, but I mean, I guess it all comes down to TV though, and you've got to wonder how the ratings do for that stuff, for the actual game compared to the fun stuff. You know, for the All-Star game for baseball, I still enjoy watching it because, I mean, you're not going to see Pete Rose type play at home plate for an exhibition game. But you know, it's different. You could still play the game. Where I mean, for them, it's the home run derby and the other stuff that kind of isn't as great. Where I think with the NBA, I mean,
Oh no,
for real, the All-Star
yeah,
game,
the home run derby.
make it
Yeah, the home run derby sucks. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. The home run derby sucks. So, but yeah, well,
a.
you know, I
Awful.
think you're kind of in agreement with me, aren't you, that the Major League Baseball All-Star game is the only one that actually resembles what the sport actually is?
The only one.
So yeah, because you know it's obviously, you know, it's difficult to fake baseball. You know, like it's easy to, you know, like if you've seen the Pro Bowl, you've seen those guys not go full speed on the pass rush, or you know, take it easy doing something else, or you know, whatever they've got going on. You know, or in basketball, you know, like Dwayne Wade said, it's basically a dunk contest. You know, there's no actual skill level involved with you know anything they're doing. But you know, baseball, you know, as long as you've got a guy pitching, you're always going to have a game. because it, you know, you've got a pitcher out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the only thing you're not going to see in baseball is, you know, someone going full on for a foul ball.
Yeah.
You know. But, and I think that's why you can kind of, even with baseball, I think the futures game was much more exciting because you got a bunch of young kids who really want to put their name out there. And that was fun to watch. Not to mention the Cubs had their, one of their top prospects, Eloy Jimenez, the MVP of that game.
Leibar Torres? Oh.
No, Eloy Jimenez.
Oh, sorry. Wrong guy there. Yeah. So, yeah, again, I don't know. You know, they're going to have to come up with something. You know, maybe they'll land on something good or, you know, something to that effect. So let's see if I can find what I'm looking for here. Oh, good Lord, how old is this? Yeah, I was looking because I know there were a ton of you know, major league players who got arbitration deals, but somehow I ended up with last year's article and not this year's article. So I don't know, maybe it would come up in transactions if I just go this route and see if it will make my life a little bit easier. But apparently, well, hey, the Dodgers made a trade.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the full CBA to come out. I don't want to read the summary. I want to read whole thing.
Here you go. I can give you some of the names that agreed here. First, let me tell you, the Dodgers sent Micah Johnson to the Braves for a player to be named later. Let me get some of the bigger names here. Manny Machado, Zach Britton, Brock Holt, Xander Bogaerts, Jackie Bradley Jr., Todd Frazier. There you go, Dan. Good old Todd Frazier. Billy Hamilton. That's your guy, Billy Hamilton. Danny Salazar, Brian Shaw, Cody Allen. These are all some of the guys who agreed to contracts instead of going to arbitration. You know, like the Rockies gave Nolan Arenado a 2-year deal. Dallas Keuchel got a deal. Eric Hosmer, Cole Calhoun. You know, a lot of guys coming off the board here. You know, Yasmani Grandal picked up a deal. Aiden Echeverria, Marcelo Zuna. Mr. Fantasy's guy, Travis Dinald, Sonny Gray, Liam Hendricks, Stephen Vogt, Jordy Mercer, your guy, Garrett Cole. Jared Dyson, who the Mariners just picked up. I know, I forget a lot.
Best third baseman in Chicago. Best third baseman in Chicago.
Gene Segura, Danny Valencia, James Paxton, and Drew Smiley with my Mariners. Trevor Rosenthal with the Cardinals. Sam Dyson. Oh, hey, Darwin Barney agreed to a deal with the Blue Jays. Bryce Harper got a big deal. Derek Norris, Anthony Rendon, Tanner Roark. And I did see, not reported here, but Jake Arrieta just signed a $15.6 million deal to avoid arbitration with the Cubs. And Dan, in case you don't know this, you'll be happy to know that David Ross has signed with the Cubs as a special assistant to baseball operations.
Yeah, Ryan Dempster had that job a couple of years ago, and all he really did was social media night and act like Harry Carey, which is getting really old. I really liked Ryan Dempster, but just stop. You're worse than Kevin Millar.
Yeah, you know, and then some other signing news. Will Myers got a 6-year, $80 million extension to stay with the Padres. So if they're rebuilding it, he is going to be the centerpiece of it.
Until next season's over and they trade him to somebody else.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously, that's a pretty tradable contract. So,
yeah,
you know, 6 years, $80 million, that's not out of any team's ballpark now. but, you know, at least they're, you know, looks like they're trying to keep a guy at least.
Well, they got to do something. They don't have any, they're not going to have any of sports in San Diego.
Yeah, the Padres are really it. So. So yeah, we had, yeah, quite a few guys, you know, agreeing to deals instead of hitting the, you know, the arbitration. There were quite a few more than that, but I just kind of wanted to, you know, stick with the players that had a tad bit of name value.
Let's go back to Jake Arrieta real quick. And I know you're not the legal analyst on our team, or as the kids say today, our squad. Yeah, that's a word, Big Jack. We're not a posse, we're a squad. I don't know, are you? But, you know, what happens, say, if the Cubs didn't want to pay Arrieta the $15.6 million and they only wanted to give him $14? I mean, how does the whole arbitration really work out? I'm not still in complete understanding of it.
But it's actually pretty simple in baseball. You go to arbitration. Arrieta asks for what he wants. The Cubs put the salary out there they want. Both sides present their cases. In this case, it would be Arrieta's agent or the team, you know, the agent has hired to do this for them. The Cubs obviously have their team that presents their side, and there's no meeting in the middle. It's either Arrieta wins or the Cubs win, and that's the salary he plays for.
And the arbitrator decides that, correct?
The arbitrator decides that. Nobody else but the arbitrator. And then once that decision is made, it's final for that year.
I mean, how would you equate that to the NFL's franchise tagging?
Well, you know, the franchise tag is a set figure combined of the top five guys' salaries. Where, you know, like you could go in, like say Bryce Harper actually went to arbitration and they didn't agree on this deal today. He could literally go in and ask for $50 million. Would he get it? Probably not. But you could go in and ask for that. There's no limit to the figure you can ask for. The idea is convincing the arbitrator that you're worth that figure. Where, you know, in the NFL, they simply go, okay, here's the top five salaries. This is the average. This is what you're being paid.
Big Jack, how do we become arbitrators?
Yeah, you know, it's got to be an interesting job. I mean, you just kind of sit there and listen to, you know, teams trade. You know, yeah, you're basically just trading numbers. And then, you know, yeah, you decide, you know, does this guy deserve $10 million or does he deserve $9.5 million? it's just kind of weird.
I mean, call me a nerd, whatever. I don't care. It would, for me, I think it would be very interesting. I don't know about you, if you feel the same way, but to actually sit in on, you know, I hate that. I wouldn't want to be the quote fly on the wall. I would want to be the guy in the room that's really there, like listening and kind of maybe not taking notes because I'm not a very good note taker all the time because I draw when I take notes because I get bored taking notes. But I think it would be kind of interesting to sit in there. I mean, you know, I'm sure for each side, you've got, especially with today, you've got a lot of analytics going on. You know, not so much.
Oh, yeah.
I'm 100% sure they're not basing this off of war whatsoever. But I'm sure each side is, you know, got their analytics kind of going, well, at the rate he's played, you know, the projection levels are this. And so it would be pretty, I think it would be kind of fun to sit in on that.
But yeah, well, you know, the tough part is, you know, obviously why teams try to avoid salary arbitration with players, you know, is the fact that you actually have to go in there and present a case against your own player. So there have been quite a few times where players have came out with hurt feelings over some of the stuff the team has said about them. So pretty much teams at almost all costs try to avoid going to arbitration with players. So So yeah, it's interesting. Like here's some of the cases, Dan. This is what we got. I'll give you the five they have listed here on MLB trade rumors. Danny Duffy, the starting pitcher of the Royals, is asking for $8 million. The Royals have offered $7.25 million. So he'll get one of the two figures there. They don't have the exact amount. Or, oh, no. Okay. Yeah, they do. Okay. Drew Pomerantz of the Red Sox asked for $5.7 million. The Red Sox countered with $3.6 million. Kelvin Herrera, the Royals reliever, looks like he's going to be the closer this year, asked for $5.6 million. The Royals came back with $5.05 million. Shelby Miller, this is an interesting case. Actually asked for $5.1 million, even though he really sucked last year. The Diamondbacks came back with $4.7 million. And then Chris Davis, the A's outfielder, it seemed like he hit a home run every day, asked for $5 million, and the A's countered with $4.65 million. So, the arbitrator gets to hear both sides, and he decides which number these guys are going to get.
Well, and you can see how the smaller market teams try to save a buck wherever they can, I guess. You want 5 million? We'll pay you
Yeah, you know,
4.8 million. That cracks me up a
when you're
little
looking at them, yeah, when you're looking at them here, like, Duffy, Herrera, Chris Davis, and even Shelby Miller, these guys aren't that far apart. So these cases may never get to arbitration. The fact that Drew Pomerantz and the Red Sox are over $2 million apart, that one's probably going to go. So yeah, it's
Oh,
just one of
okay.
those, one of
So
those situations.
all the players you listed earlier, they didn't go to
All
arbitration,
signed.
and that's what the deal was then.
Right. They all,
Okay.
yeah, they all signed today. And like a lot of these cases, it'll be the situation where, let's take Herrera, for example. He asked for $5.6 million. The Royals offered $5.05 million. Now that they have those figures, they may get together with his agent and end up giving him, they may meet in the middle, 5.25, 5.3 million for a year, and take him off the arbitration block. Miller and the Diamondbacks are the same way. 5.1 to 4.7, will they meet in the middle at 4.9 and just get it over with? So but yeah, it's definitely an interesting, situation there. Then it looks like a couple signings. It looks like the Rangers added Tyson Ross. He was quite injured with the Padres last year, but he's always been a highly touted starter. So it'll be interesting to see what he can do with the Rangers. Chris Iannetta signed a deal with the Diamondbacks today. And it looks like Trevor Cahill is going to be a Padre, Dan. So there's one less Cub coming back.
Man, the Padres really love former Cubs, huh?
Yeah, well, actually, I think they just kind of like anybody who's cheap at this point in time. So, they're still not. Yeah, I God, I don't even know if you can call what they're doing rebuild. So, we just gotta kind of see where that goes. But all right, Dan, you have some making up to do because this hasn't happened to you in a long time. But 0-for-3 last night, a very rough outing. So let's get some games fired up here, and hopefully you'll have a better night. We'll start in the NBA. We're going to take the Charlotte Hornets and the Philadelphia 76ers off the board because they've already started. We got the Brooklyn Nets at the Toronto Raptors, the Miami Heat at the Milwaukee Bucks, the Memphis Grizzlies at the Houston Rockets, the Oklahoma City Thunder at the Minnesota Timberwolves. The first game on the Mickey Mouse Network tonight has the Boston Celtics at the Atlanta Hawks. We got the Orlando Magic at the Portland Trail Blazers, the Cleveland Cavaliers at the Sacramento Kings, And the night wraps up with the second game on the Mickey Mouse Network is the Utah Jazz, or the Detroit Pistons at the Utah Jazz. So, Dan, we're going to start with, let's start with the Boston Celtics at the Atlanta Hawks. Dan, the Hawks are on a 7-game winning streak coming into this game. You got them making it 8 at home tonight, or do the Celtics end it?
It's a hyped game. Everyone wants to see Isaiah Thomas, but I think the Hawks and Mike Dunleavy make it 8.
Oh, okay. So, and then, well, you know, let's go here, Dan. You know, they haven't had time to practice. They're still out on the West Coast. They've lost 3 of their last 5 games. The Cleveland Cavaliers are taking on what is still probably the most dysfunctional team in the NBA, the Sacramento Kings. Cleveland pull it out, or you got them going down one more time out West?
No, I think they can take on the Kings without an issue.
Okay. And then we do have a local team tomorrow, Dan, so you got to pick this one here as well. The New Orleans Pelicans are in town to take on the Bulls tomorrow. You got the Bulls getting a win, or you think New Orleans takes them down?
I think they finally bounce back.
All right. So we'll lock the Bulls in there, and then let's take a look. The NHL schedule tonight. We have the Toronto Maple Leafs at the New York Rangers, the Chicago Blackhawks at the Washington Capitals. Those two games, sadly, have already started. I would have loved for you to pick that game, but it's probably better you don't. That's a big stress level for you. We got the New York Islanders at the Florida Panthers, the Buffalo Sabres at the Carolina Hurricanes, the Columbus Blue Jackets at the Tampa Bay Lightning, the New Jersey Devils at the Calgary Flames, and the Winnipeg Jets at the Arizona Coyotes. Dan, let's start with the Columbus Blue Jackets at the Tampa Bay Lightning. As a matter of fact, let's make that the only NHL game we do tonight. You like Columbus to go into Tampa and get a win, or you got Tampa Bay holding them off?
I think with the way Columbus has been playing that they go in and win.
All right, the Columbus Blue Jackets. So, yeah, there you go. Yeah, we'll lock it up there and see how that works out. I want to check real quick and see if we've got a score on a, you know, it's early, but I still want to see if we got a score on the Blackhawks and the early start time there. Yeah, here you go, Dan. The Caps are up 2-0 already, buddy.
Wow. And if you're interested watching or streaming the NBA, you can pay $7 per game.
Ah, so here you go, Dan. The Capitals' goals are Nicholas Backstrom and my guy Jay Beagle got a goal for the Capitals. So he's helping out my fantasy team just a little bit there at least.
Well, have fun at the convention. All
right.
Weekend,
yeah, Dan and I are taking off. Now, remember, Mr. Fantasy and I are back here Sunday at 10 a.m. Cover both, review the playoff games tomorrow and then cover the fun Sunday. So meet us here at 10 a.m. for that. Of course, for the deal while we're away, sportstimeradio.com. Look for the blog tomorrow morning. Find that link on sportstimeradio.com to the Facebook page. Give it a like. Get on and follow the Twitter feed at Sports Time Radio. Don't forget, you can get Dan's picks there, or they come up at Dan Z Man. Remember, there's 3 E's in that. He's got the Atlanta Hawks and the Cleveland Cavaliers getting wins in the NBA tonight. And then he likes the Columbus Blue Jackets in the NHL. So get on that Twitter, let Dan. Thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.